We're going to be talking about the accuracy of Bible translations today. We have over 100. Let's see, it might be nice if I had a little light up here. Let's see if this will do the job. That should suffice. Over 100 English translations. Some languages have but one. It's in a way fortunate that we have many, but when it gets to be way over 100 like we have in English, it takes some discriminating as to which ones to use, because some are good and some are definitely not. So we have tried to systematically compare over the years something just over 90 different translations, using a little bit more than 200 test texts to compare them. Currently, there's not much question about which one is a complete Bible is the most accurate. Now, the RVIC is not on this list. It's not compared with these others, but the Rotherham is far and away the best of these, and it tries to be careful. I'll show an illustration in a moment. What was quite a surprise to me was that the second best appears to be the Witnesses New World Translation. Pardon me. Then there's one called the New European Version, which just came out in 2013. It is from the Christadelphians, but here we need to be a little bit careful because there's the Heinz 57 varieties of Christadelphians as well, and some of them don't like the one who did the translating. But it is a good translation. Quite comparable to it is the American Standard Version. In 1885, they made the first attempt, a serious attempt to really make corrections in the King James Version. And the American Committee continued to work until 1901 to bring out the American Standard Version, or American Revised Version of 1901. It still remains an excellent translation overall, if you can find it in the used bookstores. Now, when the Revised Standard Version came out in 1952, a lot of people were appalled by some of the inaccuracies that introduced, stepping way down from the American Standard Version. And so they were unhappy at the Lachman Foundation, and they created the New American Standard Bible, which really is quite comparable to the American Standard for accuracy. Then we find that there have been two or three or four different editions of the New American Standard over the next several years, each one of them apparently taking a slightly smaller step backwards in accuracy. It seems that whenever there is a good translation and they revise it, it usually becomes less accurate. Whenever there is a poor translation and they revise it, it usually becomes more accurate. Others that deserve mention are the Complete Jewish Bible. It and Rotherham have something in common. For precision, good, but it's awfully hard to use it if somebody else is reading from the New American Standard or from the King James. And we have the New RSV. That's a step backwards in accuracy, but somewhat reversing the trend. The English Standard Version that came out in 2001 is really a pretty good translation, too. Then the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Now, the Amplified is a curious one. It is not good for accuracy in the New Testament. That's no surprise to you, is it? But in the Old Testament, it really is quite good. So it's sort of a nearer average when you average the two together. The New International Version is not notable for accuracy. It says it very nicely, and if you know what it the text means, and you know that the New International Version has worded it well, it may be well worth quoting. But you have to first know whether it's accurate. And we have the New English Bible, which is not too good in accuracy, but the improvement was made in the Revised English Bible. Some others, the Living Translation, Ken Taylor's Living Translation, not at all. It's among the bottom ones in the list. But the New Living Translation does much better. New American Bible, just above it there, is probably the best of the Roman Catholic translations. Surprise, the Today's English Version, or Good News Bible, is a simplified translation, and it doesn't do too badly for accuracy, considering it's simplified. And then comes the Roman Catholic Jerusalem Bible, then J. Green's Diaglot of both the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. It's a little low on the list. And the Douay Confraternity, the Companion Bible. It does as well as it does because it takes a King James text and it has good commentary on the accuracies of translations or corrections from the manuscripts. It's worth its weight not for the King James text, but for its comments on it. And then the Lamza, the Authorized Version, are towards the bottom of the list. I'll give an example from Rotherham. One of the things in which he is good is being careful of the text. The tense in the translation. For example, you have the wicked and sluggish slave, as the JWs call it, and it says of him, if that wicked servant should say in his heart, my master delayeth, literally, the master of that servant will have come on a day when he is not expecting. That's a little different than saying will come. That's saying he will have already come earlier than the wicked slave expects. And for those of us who consider what happened when Brother Russell died and another fellow took over and postponed our Lord's return by 40 years, it does seem to make sense if one takes it literally. John 1:18 is an interesting case where no one had seen God at any time, and only begotten God, that's the ancient manuscripts, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Rotherham, New American Standard, New World Translation are honest. It's not something that the theologians like. So you have in the Revised Version, in the ASV, God only begotten in the margin. That doesn't make any sense, does it, to us? English Standard, the only God, that's not translating, that's reinterpreting. God, the one and only, the only begotten Son, simply rejects the manuscripts. The divine and only Son, Phillips and similar as Moffat. The unique Son who is identical with God in the complete Jewish Bible, we can see what corruptions there are when they are guided by theology. Revelation 20:12, so we can see what some of the translations do to it. I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to each man according as his work is. That's the oldest manuscripts. It's the reading of the ASV and the New World and the Rotherham, New RSV. Well, that's how his work is at the time it's being spoken of, his work that he does during the Millennial Kingdom, the Judgment Day. But we see the King James says how his work shall be, the later manuscripts. Well, it gives the same thought, but look what the RSV and some of the others do to it. According to what he has done, that vitiates the entire meaning. And New English Bible and Phillips simply skip the verb altogether. So that's why there are differences that are significant. We'll go on to Matthew 24:3. Properly, the text reads, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy parousia, thy presence, and not the end of the world so much, but literally the consummation of the age. In other words, the age is going to receive some benefit, not just simply terminating everything. And the ASV margin, New World, pretty much, and the Rotherham, and most good diaglots give it that way. And then it says in the King James, or the Douay, or the Lamza, it's, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Maybe not quite so bad as the RSV and ESV, the close of the age. But it might be interesting to take a look at the New Testament diaglots. And in order, there the two top ones are Paul McReynolds. I have met him on one occasion, maybe two, and was favorably impressed with him, his sincerity. His Word Study Greek-English, and that was done fairly recently. And the Alfred Marshall Dialogue from 1958, they're both quite comparable, excellent, really. The McReynolds has a concordance in the back by according to Greek word, which is easy to use. Every time the Greek word is used, you can see exactly which texts it's used in. Then we have the Concordant Dialogue. It's pretty good, but awfully rough reading. The Kingdom Interlinear Dialogue, it's certainly better than the New World Translation. The Comfort and Brown Dialogue is a little lower. Benjamin Wilson Dialogue is not bad because of translation. Its translation is good, but when he translated, the testimony of the ancient manuscripts is only partially available, so I don't fault him for that. But look how far down you are. Less than 50% accuracy with the Bagster's Dialogue, reprinted by George Ricker Berry in 58, and by Jay Green's Dialogue. We'll hurry on now. Our emphasis in all of this should be on application of the Scriptures. We want to have an accurate translation to work from, but we also need to stress the application. Our fidelity is to the Word of God, and it is not measured by how we change the Bible, but on how the Bible changes us. Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Now, doctrine. There are essential doctrines according to the Bible. They are not nearly so many as I had supposed when I was in my early consecrated years. But we have in Deuteronomy 6 that Jehovah thy God is one. Hebrews 11:6 that Brother Todd mentioned earlier today. Must believe that God exists and that he rewards them who diligently seek him. There's two requirements. Now, the nature of Jesus is an essential. Jesus is the Christ. That's a required. Jesus has come in the flesh. That's a requirement. These are all in 1 John. And then that Jesus is the Son of God. Whosoever confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, God is in him and he is in God. Now, if he had meant that Jesus is God, he could have said it, but he didn't. So, well, there are some things we must reject, and this we'll end with. In Galatians 5:4, we must reject the idea that we are under the law. And then in 2 Timothy 2:18, we must reject the idea that somehow the resurrection is past.